Hello and welcome to the Freightvine podcast, your source for all things transportation. I'm Chris Kaplis, Chief Scientist at DAT Freight and Analytics, and today I'm joined by my colleagues at DAT, Ken Adamo, Chief of Analytics, Dean Croak, Principal Analyst, and Enam Ayoub, the Principal of the Global Freight Market Intelligence Consortium. In this last episode of the year, we'll discuss and have a conversation about what we saw in 2020 and what we expect in 2021. And we'll wrap up with our New Year's resolutions. Following our conversation, Dr. Enam Ayoub will give us the truckload market update. So let's get started. All right. Welcome to the Freightvine podcast. This is officially the most people we've ever had on one episode. I've got Ken Adamo, I've got Dean Croak, and Enam Ayoub. And so why don't we get started and you can quickly introduce yourself. So Dean, you're the only person on this call who hasn't been on this before. So why don't you say hi and give a quick intro?
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Chris. Great to be here. My name's Dean Croak, market analyst here at DAT. Been mostly in the data analytics and predictive modeling space in the truckload sector for many years with a sort of a specialty around the use of telematics data. It's been a fascinating year. I can't wait to dive into a little bit more and talk more about what we've been seeing in the freight market, Chris.
Perfect. Ken, you were on here back in the spring when we were acquired by DAT. Why don't you quickly reintroduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Chris. I'm Ken Adamo, Chief of Analytics at DAT. I'm responsible for data science, data analytics, and industry analysis.
All right. And Enam, I don't think you need any introduction, but is there anything you want to say to start off?
No. All of you hear me on the market update on a biweekly basis.
Yeah. Okay. So let's, what we're going to do today is just talk a little bit about wrapping up the year. This is the last episode of 2020, thank God. And so we'll look back a little bit and then we'll look forward to 2021, give you some of our forecasts, look into our crystal balls and let you know what we're thinking. So I'll start looking back at 2020, and I'm going to ask each person what their biggest surprise that you encountered. And you're not allowed to say a pandemic because that's like number one. But what's the biggest surprise that you saw because of the pandemic? And for me, the big surprise was it's the first time that I've seen where spot rates can go so high when the volume stayed relatively flat. And this was the biggest illustration that I've seen of the strangeness of truckload trucking, where it's the allocation of the volume over the lanes, not just the total volume, that really drives everything. So this was a real learning curve for a lot of people to really illustrate the diseconomies of scale that truckload trucking has and why it matters where the volume goes. So that was my big surprise that I saw that I hadn't seen before in the industry. Ken, what about you? What is the big surprise for you?
So I think it was less of a surprise and more of a validation in that how kind of perfect a market the truckload spot market is, right? We saw essentially three market cycles in 11 months. If you think about the slowness in February, the restocking boom in March, the doldrums of April and May, and then this just incredible rally we've been on since then. So I think the responsiveness and the resiliency of the spot market is just a validation of what we've been talking about for years in this market.
Yeah, really recovered. I mean, it with all the strange dynamic changes this year, it's really done well. Now, it's probably better if you're a carrier than a shipper at this point, but it has really covered the loads. Dean, what about you? What do you think? What's the biggest surprise?
Yeah, I mean, I was also taken by the percentage of volume that moved to the spot market. Generally, my takeaway was that, you know, we use that shipping analogy, or the ocean analogy, that a rising tide lifts all boats. We saw volumes up in some markets, but not in others. And I think what was really interesting here is that spot market volumes were so high, but overall volumes were down, and that just spoke to this market disruption that we saw. So what really caught my attention was how imbalanced the freight market became and how often large carriers had to re-optimize their networks because they, you know, use that adage that, you know, loads weren't where the trucks are, but it was really exacerbated this year when we had so much lane imbalance. As the pandemic kind of rolled across the country in different areas at different times with different levels of impact and regulatory, you know, supporting framework around it, I think that was the thing that really caught me the most. But it impacted carriers differently, Chris. You know, we saw a lot of small carriers take advantage of PPP. A lot of exits in June. You know, used truck inventory on the auction sites peaked in July. And then immediately after that, there was a large rush of owner-operators into the market to take advantage of high spot rates. Large carriers were a little bit slower to add capacity. They had more difficulty sourcing drivers and pushing them through driving schools that were closed. So there was even bifurcation in the driver hiring market. That's one of the things that I took away from a capacity point of view, was how some parts of the industry found it really easy to find drivers, others really struggled.
Right, right. Ken, what do you think?
The one thing I wanted to just draw attention to, because I don't think it was a surprise to us, but I think it was surprising to a lot of folks who don't follow this, is how important the trucking industry and truckers specifically are to pretty much everything we do, right? I think that is a resounding theme of 2020 for me. Whether it's getting COVID vaccine, going all the way back to getting toilet paper and bottled water, it's just a remarkable job these folks have done day in and day out this year to help us through this pandemic.
Yeah, the supply chains as a whole. I mean, it's shocking how, there were little shortages every now and then, usually because of us stupid consumers doing something, hoarding things. But it really responded well. And it's interesting. Have you seen the news recently about the first vaccines going out with Boyle Trucking, a little trucking company just north of here? The president is a MIT grad, Mark Boyle. And so it's funny how you're looking at, they're hitting all aspects of the industry, because they're a very specialized carrier, high temp, high performance, versus there's a much larger market out there as well. But it has performed very well. Enam, what do you think? What's your big surprise?
I think it's along the line with what Ken was saying, but as not even just the truckload industry itself, but in the overall supply chain's resilience, right? I think we saw a complete breakdown with the March April timeframe, and also a breakdown in the laws, right? The uniformity of policies and laws, each one's mm-hmm. making their own rules, and the drivers had to deal with all of that, and the essential goods and the partial shutdowns of manufacturing and the hospitality sectors. So I think the overall resilience of the system itself, I think, was I think, again, it's more of a validation than a surprise, but I think how everything came together. And not to also leave out the local charities and the volunteers who stepped up at local levels to bridge the gap. And end of the day, I think many companies came on top, especially the ones that were strong on the omnichannel side.
Right, right. No, another surprise that I saw was I didn't realize how specialized supply chains had come in terms of packaging or channels. So you think about the shutdown of industrial side of things, restaurants, businesses. And so the idea of what toilet paper that is sold to retail versus commercial, right, versus industrial. Same thing for sodas or those things. The differences in the channels really had a ripple effect that I never really appreciated before the pandemic, and how that ripples through transportation as well. But let's turn over to what you think the big adjustments were. So, I'm going to come back to you. What do you think the big adjustments or changes that shippers made during this time frame? What do you think?
I think some of the things that we heard from our membership is that obviously they shifted very quickly to the online presence with the shutdown. And I think we also heard about the reduction in SKUs, more towards the essential few versus the wider variety. I think those from purely from a product perspective, but I think from transportation perspective, we saw many of the annual or biannual shippers going into much more frequent mini bids, right? A series of mini bids. And then also using tools and extensive research to, identify capacity, monitor and isolate areas of greatest impact, and as routing guides were failing in certain areas due to, all the imbalances. And also using a very keeping a very close communication with the upper management, because you know budgets were getting blown off, right? So I think those are big areas that we saw. We also saw some heavier dependency on the dedicated fleets. I mean, initially we were hearing how do we keep them fed enough, but on the back end they really utilized the dedicated fleets. I think these are some of the things that stood out.
Yeah, it makes sense. One of the big things I noticed the shippers did that I was shocked is network design used to be done maybe annually, but they were starting to run network design optimization for flow almost at the weekly level as states locked down, opened up, as industries moved around. And so the speed with which people were changing the flow of their supply chains was shocking. And of course, that ripples into transportation as well. What about the broker side, Ken? What are some big adjustments or changes you saw that brokers took during the pandemic?
So, I mean, it's been really that 18 to 24 month freight cycle happened in 3 to 4 months in the spring and early summer. So we saw, super high volume, super high margin freight moving. And then when the lockdowns happened, really clamping down on expenses. If you follow the trade press, there were staffing reductions and furloughs to then having to adjust to an environment that was hotter than even 2018, right? So you just reduce staff potentially. And then all of a sudden, you have to get real efficient real quick because you're moving 50 to 100% more freight than you were the same time last year at 60% higher rates and 20% lower margins. So, I think that volatility has forced a heavier reliance on data and analytics. It's forced investment in efficiency and tech platforms to help with that. And I think it's forced folks to stay more in tune to what's happening on a much, much more narrow time frame in the market.
Yeah, I think the digital transformation across all these companies in the sectors really got pushed during COVID. Dean, what about the carrier side? How were they affected? What were the big adjustments that you saw the carriers make?
They've made a lot of adjustments on the PPE side. Clearly, drivers had to make more adjustments in terms of the physical requirements. Drivers socially distance as a just a natural part of their work life. So it wasn't a great stretch for them to have to socially distance. But the big change, of course, for them was the additional cost of PPE, sanitizing equipment, physical distancing at the dock. Digital, technology came into its own, which is great because it accelerated a lot of that technology that we were looking for in terms of efficiency. So for drivers, the drivers that actually do the physical moving of the freight, not a lot of change. There was some disruption at the dock level. Some shippers were keeping them outside. There was a lot of physical distancing of trucks at appointment time. So, that was one of the big things that we noticed. But I did notice also there were a lot of new carriers that came into the industry later in the year, a lot of opportunities. So, I think we'll see a continuation of the same into next year. That's my sense of things.
So Dean and Enob, did you guys sense that the interaction between shippers and carriers got any better? Like detention time of facilities, did that improve during the pandemic or stay the same? What do you think, Dean?
Anecdotally, I heard that it increased, but again, it was along your theme of winners and losers, Chris. There were certain commodities that had longer detention times as the bottlenecks at their entry points at the loading docks sort of were magnified, in particular the fast-moving CPG items. So as the volume surged and shippers looked to restock their inventories, those particular warehouses that were, handling that, especially the e-commerce fulfillment locations, in July, August, they were at peak capacity, and we were seeing more carriers doing drop and hook because they couldn't do their ratio of live loads. So anecdotally, yes, wait times did increase, but also the equipment utilization took a hit as they had to do more drop and hook, which is part of the reason that I've seen more trailers on the road now that probably shouldn't be in service because they're so old and dilapidated. because, you know, dry vans in particular have become, you know, quite a premium commodity these days, just to move the volume of freight, and in particular store the volume of freight that we can't get into warehouses. So those trailers have become sort of surplus capacity for shippers to take advantage of.
Right. Anyone else, anyone notice anything in difference between the shipper and carrier interface, whether it's improved or worsened? Enom, Ken?
Yeah, I think from my side, I think they have improved. I think obviously, few fell off the routing guides and, you know, they had to be replaced. But I think other than that, they had to really, especially the incumbents, really had to work closely with the shippers. And I think those who had good relationships, it really paid off.
All right. So let's look forward. Enough of 2020. We're looking forward to look at that in our rearview mirror. 2021. So what are the forecasts? So Enom, let me start with you. What do you see happening in 2021? Get your crystal ball out.
I think we have seen the contract rates. So I'll focus on contract rates. Maybe Ken can come back with spot side. But on the contract rate side, we've been seeing the contract rates increasing in the last few months. And I expect it to continue to increase until about maybe latter part of Q1 2021. And then I would expect it to plateau Q2, Q3 before starting to drop in Q4.
Okay. Ken, what do you think? What are you seeing from the spot side or the contract side?
I think the extent to which the spot market becomes overbought will kind of determine the degree to which we see that rapid correction in Q1. Our models have reflected that, as has our kind of internal fundamental and technical analysis. So I also think this notion that if contract rates settle at plus 15%, whether that's, you know, plus 9 to 10 asset and plus 17 to 20 non-asset netting around that, you know, low teens. I think that and high spot rates are mutually exclusive, right? I think the combination of the rush back to contract, the increase in capacity as a result of these month after month of high class A truck orders will stem back quite a bit of the spot market demand. And we could be in for considerably lower spot rates in 21.
Yeah. Dean, what do you think?
You know, a couple of observations, Chris. You know, I think this channel shift that you talked about recently is, you know, I think people are in this for the long haul. I think we're heading into some pretty dark days. But on the upside, I see a lot of pent-up demand building. I think post, you know, vaccination of a significant part of the population and getting our COVID numbers under control, I could see an absolutely crazy second half of this year with all of the pent-up demand and a splurge on services, which could decrease, you know, the spending that we've seen on the physical goods side of the economy. So that's sort of one thing that I'm watching very carefully. But I think my big takeaway heading into 2021 is that truckload drivers in the long-haul space are going to become harder and harder to come by. So, and I say that because of the surge in e-commerce, final mile, short haul driver space. There's been a boom in warehouse, logistics, couriers, final mile drivers. So I think that'll stay in place. And the reason I say truckload capacity will be tight because of the hard to find drivers. The natural tendency of drivers is to enter, if they're new to the industry, enter the long haul sector, get some experience with a training company, and then progressively gravitate closer to home through successive jobs. So what the pandemic has done, it's accelerated that shift. So now truckload carriers are competing for the demographic that they normally hire from, who can now get really good wages on short-haul freight and be home every night, which is their long-term goal anyway.
But a lot of the local delivery with vans and whatnot, you don't need a CDL for those, do you?
Correct.
Like I'm looking at all the Amazon little delivery franchise trucks that I see everywhere now.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a lot of competition for, you know, the people at the end of the truckload industry or the trucking industry, period. So, yeah, absolutely.
All right. And so for me, I think I'm going to echo everything that people are saying. I see things in Q1 kind of cooling off. We're seeing the spot kind of cooling off, showing signs of that. And usually there's a lag. Contract will increase a little bit, but I see it cresting probably middle of Q1. But it'll be interesting to see how that really turns out. And I thought, Dean, that was a really interesting point you made about the surge post-pandemic. I think you're right. You're going to see a huge services surge because that's what people are craving, the restaurants, the travel, all of those things. And it's interesting to think, will that pull away from our purchasing products. Because if you look across the board, appliances are booming right now. It's hard to find a consumer sector where we, as a consumer, would buy stuff that is not booming. Our purchasing power has really, it hasn't really waned much through the pandemic. Dean?
Yeah, that's always been on my mind, and that is a lot of the surge in volumes have been one-off purchases. So we've just seen, for example, an 80% increase in, you know, Christmas trees and decorations in terms of container volumes out of Asia. It's 80 year-over-year increase. So, you know, I can only assume that those Christmas trees will be around next year. We won't have to buy them again. It's the same for washing machines, TVs, refrigerators, vacuums, bedding, linen, furniture. I mean, furniture was 15% of imports in November. How much more furniture can we buy? And at what point do we start to see the sort of durable goods that we're buying start to decline? That's sort of the
right.
That's the inflection point I'm watching for in terms of truckload volumes.
That makes sense. That makes sense. So what about changes that were made during the pandemic that we think will continue? What silver lining? So, Enon, let me ask you, because you brought up the idea of mini bids. Do you think that's something that's going to continue?
I think so. I think this that whole portfolio approach, I think, is set in very quickly. I think shippers are going to see certain segment of their freight that is set for annual bids. However, they are going to look at the another segment which is going to go on this short time periods. I think they have kind of understood that edge of it, and I think that will continue from a shipping perspective.
Ken, what do you think? What are some silver linings that you think will continue over past post-pandemic?
And I think a lot of folks learned a lot in 2018 about relationships, about
right.
the fact that you have to work with your shipper, your carrier, your broker, in good times and bad. So I think that's something that I saw over and over again, especially throughout the summer and fall when things were really rocking and rolling. And the spot market is continuing to maintain relationships, continuing to protect service the best that you could, maybe using margin as a pressure release valve to continue to handle more freight than you wanted to maintain that shipper relationship if you're a broker.
Right.
And I think kind of overarchingly, I don't think you put the toothpaste back in the tube around data and analytics, right? If you made a conscious decision to double down or, wade into the pool on rate forecasting or rate benchmarking, spend benchmarking in 2020, I think there's all the more reason to continue that in 21, right?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. And it's still, I'm always amazed in this industry. 10, 15 years ago, finding someone with a master's degree in analytics, much less a PhD or something, was so rare in the sector. Now it's just the opposite. I can't think of a company we work with that doesn't have an analytics group of some sort. So it really has changed.
That's a big difference, Chris, right, with the brokers. A lot of these brokers, I mean, you can grow to be a rather large company rather quickly with a rather small, I mean, it could be 10, 12 folks moving, 50, 60, 70, potentially $100 million worth of freight, once you add in the back office folks. So there's a lot of, I continue to be amazed at how many smaller firms from the people side move such a large amount of freight and are so kind of still naive in their journey around data and analytics. So it's interesting how kind of the dichotomy between, shippers and brokers as it pertains to that.
No, that makes sense. But do you think, Ken, that because they're probably using DAT, using these systems, the analytics are now being delivered to them that they wouldn't normally have?
Yeah, I think it's twofold, right? It's never been easier to get into data analytics, right? Just because you have so many offerings. But the double-edged sword of having so many offerings is parsing signal from noise, having the bandwidth, with your technology right. department, to the extent that you have a technology department, to get this stuff stored locally, to make sense of it. And then once you allocate budget and spend money for this stuff, there's an expectation from your leadership that you're using it, right? So those are all hurdles that we're helping folks navigate, especially with so much noise in the market today.
Yeah, I think one of the points that Ken made, I think I would like to emphasize is, when a company is looking at it from the data of, themselves on their own data, you know, it's very difficult to separate signal from the noise. I think when we have the ability with, you know, all the different shippers in front of us and looking at it on a regular basis, reasoning it out, what's going on and separating that out, I think clearly, you know, brings the true value of analytics.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Dean, what do you think? Silver linings. What have you seen?
Yeah, so one of the silver linings, I think, is around the actual, you know, the drivers. It's a little bit like what we saw around some of our medical professionals during the early part of the pandemic, where they were, you know, we suddenly realized how important they were.
Yeah.
Ken touched on it earlier, so did Nam, but what we realized during the pandemic was that one of the very few industries that didn't stop were truck drivers, and they kept rolling regardless. You know, as truck stops shut down, rest areas closed down, they had limited access to food. You know, you'd walk into a truck stop and the whole seating area is closed down, very limited access to shower and restroom facilities. So, you know, truck driving is such a tough job. You know, you go through a roller coaster of emotions from, you know, it's great to be out here and the sun's shining and the scenery's great, to the pits of depression and fatigue. It's such a hard job. But I think the thing that I think everybody genuinely, you know, took note of was how important truck drivers were as an integral part of that whole logistics function within the supply chain. Because as the ATA have said for many years, without trucks, you know, the economy stops. And I think it was very much brought home this year that one of the things that kept you and I and Ken and Ian Army in supplies during that pandemic stocking phase was the fact that truck drivers were delivering freight even though they were at great risk.
Right. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. Enam?
Yeah, I think supply chain, the overall became frontline workers. I think that was the point was proven this time.
Yep. Okay, let's wrap this up by, I'm going to go around the table and ask what your New Year's resolutions are, and I'll start. So for me, my resolution is to lose the 10 to 15 pounds I gained during COVID. Since I can't grow hair back, I'm trying to lose the weight. So Dean, what do you think? What's your New Year's resolution?
Well, I'm that and some, so I'm going to lose more weight than that. So, obviously, you know, health's very important, but, I want to be able to connect the dots more. You know, I'm always fascinated by what drives demand for freight. One of the things I want to do more of this year is bring in more data sets so we can actually start to provide more market insights around what's driving demand and what's driving capacity. So my New Year resolution is to dig deeper into data.
All right. Enam?
I think mine is, I think slightly, we've been digging into data quite a bit. I think my 2021 resolution is, you know, spend a little bit more time than 2020 with my customers.
Okay. So kind of the flip, you and Dean are taking opposite sides here.
Yes.
So Ken, bring us home. What's your resolution?
I think the COVID-19 is more profound than the freshman 15. So I'm with you on that one. I also think, you know, we've embarked upon this journey to bring the data off the page or out of the database through video, through these formats. And my biggest surprise, kind of even going back to your first question, is people listen. I've had a remarkable year building that connection, and I want to really expand upon that, especially like I mentioned, with a lot of this noise, a lot of this, you know, people who get paid based on clicks, not based on insight and, you know, the data they provide. I really want to build stronger connections and keep that momentum going and help our partners and our customers make their lives easier and make more informed decisions.
Man, all of yours in your resolutions were so much better than mine. I was doing something personal there and sharing, and you guys are all do my job better. Okay, that's fine. I'll also make a resolution along those lines. I want to write more blogs specifically tying the data to actual practical applications, and that there's a gap there sometimes. And so I think we collectively try to fill that from all sides. So with that, I'm going to say thank you, everyone, for joining me today. And please stay tuned for the Truckload Market Update with Dr. Enam Ayoub.
Thank you.
take a brief pause to talk about the FMIC Pulse Signal Report from DAT. Formerly part of Chainalytics, the Freight Market Intelligence Consortium, or FMIC, is now part of DAT Freight and Analytics. FMIC Pulse members receive monthly reports based on their subscription, which includes DAT IQ's proprietary forecasting approach to predicting the future of North American truckload markets. Are rates dropping? Is the market getting tighter? How should I approach next year's transportation budget? All of these questions and more are answered in the FMIC Pulse Signal Report. Visit DAT.com/PulseSignal and fill out the form for a free limited view of the report. And become a member of FMIC to receive unlimited access. All right, let's get back to it.
Welcome to the Over-the-Road Truckload Market Update for December 17th, 2020. In today's market update, we will discuss the market changes in the last 2 weeks. Let's start with dry van. Active rates are up 1.3%, spot rates up 2%, replacement rate is positive 12%. This means the new contract rates are about 12% above the rates being replaced. On the temp control side, active rates are flat, spot rates are up 3%, and replacement rates are positive 6%. Finally, on the intermodal side, active rates down 1%, spot rates are down 1%, and replacement rate is positive 3%.
All right, Enam, so it's been a little bit of change over the last couple of weeks. What are your big takeaways?
Yeah, I think the spot rates show an uptick, a few percentage points on dry van and temp control, which is, of course, different than what we saw the last few weeks. Not sure if this is related to the holiday push. Right. But this is something that we will continue to monitor if that's something that's, if there's an actual change in trend. On the active rate side, it's continuing to increase, which is, again, expected to the level that the spot rate spiked. So this will continue for some time before it's starting to flatten out.
I'm a little surprised that the intermodal hasn't gone up more. To be honest, I guess we're done with the push for things coming in from the ports. What do you think?
I think so. I think when the next year starts, I think things should pick back up.
Okay. Any other last insights that we've seen for the last couple of weeks?
No, I think the spot rates is the biggest thing that we are watching now to see if there is anything substantive on it, or is that... Is that just a blip?
Yeah, a little seasonal blip finishing off the quarter. All right. Well, that concludes this week's Truckload Market Update. But before we finish, though, I want to thank Nat and Monica Graves and Matt Sullivan, both at DAT, for all their support in the creation and distribution of the FreightFind podcast this year. Thank you, everybody, and we will see you in the new year.
Thank you.
Well, that wraps up this episode of the FreightFind. The FreightFind podcast is hosted by Dr. Enam Ayoub and myself, Chris Kaplis, and is produced and edited by DAT IQ. For more information or to hear previous episodes, please visit our website at DAT.com/podcasts. You can subscribe to the FreightFind wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, be sure to give us a review. As always, if you have any feedback or questions about what you've heard on the FreightFind or suggestions for what you'd like to hear in the future, send an email to me at chris.kaplis@dat.com. Finally, from all of us at the FreightFind, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something new.